and they're grumbling about not being able to resolve this problem. And God says, there's a tree right there. If you just throw it in the water, everything will be taken care of. They were probably eating bento lunch under this tree. The very answer to the problem that we're struggling with can be right next to us, and we will not see it, because here's what ungratefulness does. It blinds you to the answers.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. The Bible tells us to be thankful in every situation, but sometimes it can seem nearly impossible to have a heart of thanksgiving when you're going through hard times. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us how we can learn to develop an attitude of gratitude. Here he is with a message entitled, Gratefulheartedness.
Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Making People Better and talk about something that is absolutely crucial to receiving God's best. And that is something that's absent to a great extent in our society today. And that is something we call gratefulness. The absence of that has caused the children of Israel in the Old Testament to lose out on the very promised land. And the result of ungratefulness will be seen in the symptoms of grumbling or stress. And in fact, our society is reflecting the loss of grateful-heartedness because of the greed and the selfishness of our lifestyle that has caused an ungratefulness, and then it becomes a selfishness. And because of that, we see stress taking place in our society. In fact, in Parade magazine cover article, listen to this, the result of the absence of grateful-heartedness. I quote, stress is taking its toll on our nation's health and economy. Nearly 66% of all physician visits are for stress-related problems. It is costing the American economy $150 billion a year in lost revenue. Absenteeism, medical insurance payments, professional therapy payments, stress leave, and loss of productivity. Every week, 112 million Americans will take medication to relieve stress. We live in a stressed out society. Man, even our vocabulary is reflecting the stress around us and within us. In Benjamin Franklin's days, there was the adages or the proverbial sayings that everyone could just finish because they knew it almost by rote, such as, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And we just knew those things, easy. But today, the adages are different. It's actually built around stress. In fact, let me give you this quiz, and you just finish these sentences and see how common they are. Here's the first one. I'm ready to throw in the... Yeah. I'm at the end of my... My life is completely falling. I'm about to have a nervous. I'm at my wits. Why don't you go fly up? Just jump in the... Yeah. I just can't stand my... Don't answer that one. We don't want people to get more stressed out here. Because I already know your answer. I can't stand my attitude or my hemorrhoids or stuff like that. So I know. We have stress hitting us from every direction. Because you see, one of the symptoms of removing a grateful-heartedness as the beginning or the base camp of our lives is we start to grumble, start to be critical. We start to pick apart, seeing evidences of God's absence rather than evidences of God's presence. We displace from a grateful heart. If you remove that, it's displaced by grumbling and criticism. And we see that in the Old Testament. The Israelites had a tendency to grumble. And in fact, all the way through the wilderness, they had lost a grateful heart. But what God is saying is this. He wants to recalibrate our hearts so that gratefulness is the base. Gratefulness is the beginning. Gratefulness is not something at the end of our reach where we got to work up to being grateful. But it's just the beginning. You just start with being grateful. Because one of the things we want to realize is that we must recalibrate our hearts to the fact that you and Jesus make a majority. In fact, the Bible says, with food and clothing, therewith to be content. Start there. Often we add so many other layers of needs, and when that's not met, we get upset. But gratefulness doesn't start there. We need to recalibrate it so that our hearts, so that gratefulness is at the beginning of our reach. The children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, came out of slavery with the Egyptians, and they got to the Red Sea. And just at the Red Sea, when they see the Egyptians coming, they already start grumbling. Now, God just delivered them, and they're about to go through the Red Sea, and they're grumbling. Moses, did you bring us out here to die by the Egyptians so that our graves will be here by the Red Sea? Is that the kind of leader you are? And Moses says, oh, hold on, just hold on. God then opens up the Red Sea. Now, I don't know if you know the kind of miracle that requires. As we went from Rome to a couple of other ports, we were in a ship that was 50,000 tons. Now, if you take a look at the hull of a ship, 50,000 tons sinking and splitting water, and at a certain point, it becomes buoyant or it floats. It required 50,000 tons to split that ocean just enough for that boat to sit in there. 50,000 tons to split this much ocean. You know, you look at the ship. If you take a look at what it took, just speaking physics, to split the Red Sea and then sustain its walls, to hold it back for that long, for 2 million people to walk through, do you know how much force it would be required to push that down and split the ocean? If it took 50,000 tons just for the size of a ship, just elongate that for 2 million people to walk through. You know how many tons of pressure and power it would have taken to sustain the opening of that sea and holding it? That's why when the Egyptian army came through, when God released his hand, it just came through and destroyed the whole army. Bang! That much power. God had to enforce maybe millions and millions of tons of pressure, and he did that with no problem at all. So the people went through, God closed the sea, and they get to a place called Marah, where there's a lake. Now, the lake is bitter, not able to be, dranked, whatever. And they couldn't drink it. They couldn't drink the water. And so they call it Marah, or bitter, and they begin grumbling. Now, they just saw the miracle of millions of tons of force to open the Red Sea by God, and he did it without any problem. They come to a place where the water's bitter, and they begin to grumble and grumble and grumble again. It is there that God teaches them a lesson about grateful-heartedness. Let me just read it to you, and it's out of Exodus chapter 15, and it says this. It says, and Moses came to a place called Marah where they couldn't drink the waters, for they were bitter. So the people started grumbling, what are we going to drink? And they cried out, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he said this, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases that I have put on the Egyptians. They'll not come upon you, for I, the Lord, am your healer. God was speaking to these children, the ones that were given prone to grumbling and that lost a grateful heart. God is saying you need to restore that. In fact, they chose to continue grumbling the rest of the 40 years to the point where God had to let the whole generation die off. Why? Because he had the promised land available for them. But there's a prerequisite to enter into God's promises, and it's at the top of your notes. Let's read it together, right at the top, Psalm 95. Ready? Go. Let us come into his presence with... What does God say? Come into my presence. What's the key? You got to have a heart of thanksgiving. And the people chose to not have that kind of heart. It was a heart of ungratefulness, a heart of grumbling. And the Lord says, you can't enter into the promised land. You can't enter into my canopy where my presence will be, and I'll give you my promises. You've got to have a heart of thanksgiving. And they chose not to. The whole group had to die off in the wilderness. You say, well, what? Why were the Israelites so good at grumbling? Well, you'll have to remember that the Israelites were slaves. Slaves in Egypt for a long time. And there's one thing that will teach you how to grumble well, and that's slavery. Slavery taught them to grumble very well. So that even though they were delivered from Egypt, they took with them bags of old habits. And one of the more prominent habits, grumbling, wanting more, not being grateful for what they have been given. And God is saying, until you recalibrate your hearts, you will not be able to enter into the promised land because you enter my presence with thanksgiving. And so they chose to keep their bags and they had to die off in the wilderness. There's going to be times that you as well and myself will have been delivered from slavery, the slavery of sin. But we will have the same tendency as the Israelites to carry with us bags full of old patterns. And one of the more prominent, grumbling, being ungrateful. And that's why God is saying, you are moving towards my promises, to apprehend the promises of the kingdom of heaven so that I can get you better, your relationships better, your life better. But you've got to enter it with thanksgiving. And one of the things that will help make people better is to recalibrate our hearts. Otherwise, you'll be susceptible to one of the more dangerous things that we find in Exodus 15. What is that? Why are you so stuck on this grateful heartedness, God? Well, number one is, here's the power of a grateful heart. Would you write it in? It protects you from bitterness. When we lose a heart of gratefulness, we become so susceptible to bitterness. You're offended easily. You get depressed and discouraged. And the ensuing result is criticism, slander, looking for what's wrong with people. And God is saying we've got to recalibrate our hearts back to gratefulness. Well, what about when bad situations happen? Oh, they'll happen. Then what do we do? Do exactly what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You say, what? Underline, first of all, this is God's will for you. When I get into a negative circumstance, that's God's will? No, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying for everything give thanks. It's what? Would you circle in everything? Here's what God is saying. There's going to be times you're going to come to a negative situation where it's not resolved yet, like this pool of bitter water. It's not resolved yet. What's the answer for it? What are we going to do? Are we going to die? The Lord says, whoa, whoa, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. What's the will of God? The situation? Well, sometimes my own stupidity brings on bad situations. Maybe the adversary of our soul will bring on a negative situation. But what God is saying is, Wayne, protect your heart so that in everything, what kind of heart must we have? Give thanks, or a thankful heart, for this is the will of God. The situation? No, not necessarily. The heart of thanksgiving is the will of God. Why? Because if you keep a heart of thanksgiving in everything to protect your heart, it'll keep your heart from getting bittered by the situation. You'll not get embittered by the lake called Mara. You won't let an outside storm become an inside storm because the pressure, or the barometric pressure, the air pressure on the inside keeps that storm out. And it is a heart of thankfulness. So what do we do? Just keep a heart of thankfulness. I'm thankful that I'm alive. I'm thankful that Jesus has rerouted me from a dead-end course going to hell, and he's rerouted me towards heaven. He's given me salvation. I'm thankful for that. Well, you didn't get this or get that. Yeah, I know. But I'll work on that, and God will give me the answers and how to resolve that. But my primary responsibility right now is in everything, keep what kind of a heart? A thankful heart, because it protects your heart from getting bitter. You see, what happened with the children of Israel, they allowed grumbling to take place. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And they began to grumble. When your heart remains thankful, it keeps you from getting bitter. And we've got to recalibrate our hearts back to that, where the beginning of our heart is gratefulness. Not the end of my reach, but the beginning of my reach. That's the base of my heart. That's the core. And I correct back to that. We all need our hearts recalibrated back to that, where Jesus and me make a majority. I'm okay. I have His forgiveness. I have His grace. It's okay. One day the disciples came back and said, God, we're so excited because demons are subject to us in Your name. You know what the Lord said? Correct back, correct back. Well, what do you mean? You want to rejoice in anything? Yeah, rejoice in this, that your names are what? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, it's just, that's what you rejoice in. If you can correct back to that, everything else is icing on the cake. If you understand that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of what Jesus did on the cross, that in itself has given you enough to party about till Jesus comes again. Everything else is icing. We've got to recalibrate our hearts back to that. Otherwise, well, I'm only going to rejoice if I've got a little more of this, a little more of that, a little more money, a little bigger house, a little bigger car, a little faster car, a little this, a little that, and then I'm happy. And the Lord says, you know, Wayne, you got to recalibrate your heart. Your heart's off. And if your heart is off, everything goes off. Recalibrate. Just like I went to Los Angeles this week to, actually, we opened up a new New Hope Church. Jesse Lee, who's a Korean pastor here, handed the baton to another pastor, and it's called New Hope All Nations. He went to Glendale and just pioneered New Hope in Los Angeles. And we had the grand opening, started with 600 people. I mean, it's a phenomenal beginning, a Korean church there. And so I went over there, and they have new security now. You'll notice it's federal security now. And so I went through, and I guess I look, you know, Muslim or something. I don't know. So they stopped me, and I'm thinking, why? So they pulled my computer out, and the computer I do my messages on usually that I take with me. So they wiped it down. They put it in this computer, and it turned up that something was wrong because they called the supervisor in. They make me take off my shoes, my belt, my coat, and everything that I had. They started going through my case, and they wanted me to take off more, so that's enough. Then they had me sit down. The supervisor stood next to me, detained me. I said, what's going on? He said, we found traces of explosives on your computer. I said, well, I know my messages are bad, but not explosive. He didn't like that. And so he checked it again, and I mean, they started asking me questions. So they looked at me real funny, and they said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor, sure. Where are you going? I'm gonna open a church, sure. And so they started asking me all these questions. Well, after a while, I was sitting there, this is a half hour going by, 40 minutes going by, and they're checking everything and asking questions. And so finally I said, you know, that's just a regular computer, and I've traveled a lot, and this has never happened before. And they said, excuse me, we're checking this. So I said, well, and my phone started to go off, you know, someone was calling me. So I said, here, I'll turn, don't touch that. That's, well, it's mine, don't touch it. So I'm, okay, I might blow up. Okay, all right. Really, sticklers. Well, I don't realize, you know, that people aren't, you know, apt to laugh like I'd like to laugh. So I didn't realize. So, they're going through this thing. I said, you know, I bet you better recalibrate that computer. He said, we recalibrate it 3 times a day. I mean, to tell you, you don't want to joke with these guys. They have no sense of humor. No sense of humor. Well, finally, everything was okay, and they let me go. You know, and I thought, well, that's great, because they're just doing their job. Nothing wrong with that. Thank goodness everything was okay, but they're catching, you know, things like that. And they said it was my hand antibacterial thing that I used. Well, that's great. I don't know. And so, but as I left, I thought, you know, Lord, they recalibrate that computer 3 times a day. And at that point, I was going a little upset. And I thought, maybe, Lord, you need to recalibrate my heart a little bit. And the Lord said, that's right. You need to recalibrate your heart often and always recalibrate it back, because like sensitive instruments, you'll get bumped. You'll hit corners and sharp corners. You'll run into some problems. And if you don't take the time to recalibrate back, you'll go off and the reading is incorrect and you'll think it's right, but it's not right. And how often we need to recalibrate our hearts back to the fact that you and Jesus make a majority. With food and clothing therewith to be content. Start there, so that gratefulness is not the end of your reach, but the beginning of your reach. Begin there. And how many of us would say, I need to recalibrate my heart in that way quite often? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, we all need that. And it just may be a lesson for us today through Exodus 15 that he teaches to the children of Israel. It wasn't just for the children of Israel. It's for us today. So the first thing about a grateful heart is that it protects our heart from being bitter or embittered. Now, I noticed something else about this in the story of Exodus 15. Here is this pool of water that's bitter, not drinkable. And the people begin to grumble. What are we going to drink? You're going to put our graves here? Is that what you've got? What kind of leader are you? And they start grumbling again right after God does a grand miracle of splitting the Red Sea. And it wasn't that hard. And if God can split the Red Sea, he can give us water to drink. And he shows that to the people in just a little while. He'll open up a rock and water will come out. When was the last time you saw a rock produce water? God is saying basically this. It doesn't matter. I can do anything. Well, the people don't realize this and they start to grumble. Now, I want you to see something with me. Let's read the scripture under number 2. Then we'll come back and fill in the blank. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree and threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet, and there he tested them. Now I want you to underline, and the Lord showed him a tree. I want you to see with me that when the people were grumbling, God didn't have to create a tree that would be thrown into the water and change the water from bitter to sweet. He didn't, out of thin air, materialize a tree. God did not speak into existence a tree and then transplant it. He showed them a tree, which meant that the tree was there all the time. It was there in their midst, and they're grumbling about not being able to resolve this problem. And God says, there's a tree right there. If you just throw it in the water, everything will be taken care of. They were probably eating bento lunch under this tree. The very answer that they needed, and they're grumbling. Oh, stupid Moses. He's here to die. That's what he's doing. And it's like the tree is saying, hello, hello. That's dumb Moses, I can't believe it. You know what happens? When we have an ungrateful heart, the very answer to the problem that we're struggling with can be right next to us and we will not see it, because here's what ungratefulness does. It blinds you to the answers. So what does a grateful heart do? Conversely, here it is. Would you write it in your notes? A grateful heart, the power of a grateful heart is that it opens our eyes to the answers. You see, grumbling will cause you to focus on what we don't have. I need more money. I need more budget. I need more influence. I need more notice. People need to notice me more. Whatever it is. And the Lord is saying, what do you have? Because I'm going to do a miracle with what you do have, not with what you don't have. But if you don't recalibrate your heart back to what gratefulness is, the answer can be right in front of you to your problem, but you'll be blind to it.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Grateful Heartedness by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us how we function at our best when we have an attitude of thankfulness. In fact, it can even improve our immune system. We hope you'll be listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until this same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.